Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. I went for a run this morning with my friend, and the sun is shining. The birds are singing. Life is pretty good. We had like a mini snowstorm, I think, on Wednesday, and it was like enough to be like, hey, you know, that's what winter was like. And now we have the contrasting, like, you know, nice warm weather outside. And so it's feels pretty great.
Nice. I didn't know you ran.
I typically don't. I don't really like to run. But it's good for me. And my wife says I'm happier when I do it, you know, and it's different to run with somebody, you know, you kind of do it for friendship and to, you know, get out and that sort of thing.
Like slower pace, you guys kind of talk while you run or just like,
yeah, we talk while we run. We're not like sprinting or anything like that.
Well, I was expecting sprinting, but yes. Nice.
Yeah. 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 How are things with you?
Better today than it was earlier this week. I was away last week, and speaking of going for a run, I did get to go for a run with one of my longtime friends. I made a trip to a retreat in the early part of last week, and then it was in Europe, and then I'm rarely ever in Europe, and one of my best friends lives in London, so I stopped there for a few days and went for a run with him.
Nice.
And among other things.
Sure,
but when you mentioned the run, it was like, oh yeah, we went for a run, and we're both a little bit, you know, are pretty, I would say pretty consistent runners a bit. So yeah, it was good. It was good to see him. The retreat was good, but then of course, then you come back and all the stuff plus other out of band things like, you know, U.S. taxes, aside from the whole tariff thing, not even talking about that, but
The
whole, like, even just, you know, filing corporate and filing personal taxes, just like all these little things. But we've got a bathroom renovation going. There's a lot of balls in the air. So it took a few days of getting kind of chomping through that. And for a while, the hole was getting bigger when you like, kind of like what's they say about a hydra, you cut off one head and three back grow in its place, two heads grow in its place. It felt like that in the early parts of the week. It was like, okay, I'm going to knock out, here's my list.
Mm-hmm.
And then my list was longer by the end of the day. It's like, wait a second, that's not how this is supposed to work.
Yeah. It's like one of those days where you count the things that you did, not the things that, you know, are left on the list.
Yes, it's a better glass half empty, no, full,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Approach to that. Yeah. And I saw another, actually saw one of our active listeners, Amar.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up, Amar?
Nice.
So met up with one of my indie hacker friends or types of things and saw him as well.
Nice.
And, but yeah, I'm in a pretty good place back to kind of like being ahead of my tasks.
Yeah. Well, that's always tricky when you go away and you leave everything for a bit and you can't really do a lot when you're on the road and when you're visiting people and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So I saw you
stressed the week before, stressed the week after.
Yeah.
Hopefully when you're at the thing, you're not too stressed. So disruption, change, you know, all these things. Get out.
So I've been on LinkedIn and I saw your referral rock has been posting a bunch of marketing things on there. And I was just curious how that's going. I noticed it's kind of a different format. It's kind of a little bit of a different style.
Honestly, it's just an experiment. I mean, it's going, it's kind of fun to do. It's not me that's doing them. You probably see in their little, I think you mentioned they were cheeky. So
yeah.
I don't know. We also realize on LinkedIn, it's not our best. Its audience doesn't actually like live there per se. I would say some marketing B2B, but that's only a partial segment of our business. I think a lot of LinkedIn is, you know, B2B enterprise, you know, that type of stuff. So it doesn't necessarily like help us. But at the same time, the whole thesis is like, we just want to keep our socials like active enough and might as well have some fun with it and experiment and see if we can, I don't know, be like, I don't know if you follow, you know, there's like a lot of consumer socials that are quite funny and entertaining.
Yep,
like if it's like Wendy's or Taco Bell or Hootsuite or maybe not Hootsuite. What am I thinking of? An owl. Duolingo, like just different things. So we're like, why not just be sort of fun, like type of thing. So we have a great person that we've been working with that does some copywriting and whatnot. So it's honestly just tinkering and experimenting. And if it was for just like generating leads, it's not working. But but that we kind of took the cover off of that and just said, hey, let's just see if we can find something that gets engagement and just kind of tinker with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that makes sense too, because like it's just like an engagement and like people noticing you kind of thing. And that's really hard to attribute, right? Like, you know, was it that or one of the five other places that you market that actually contributed to leads coming in and that sort of thing? But I guess, yeah, you probably wouldn't see much of that anyways. But it is.
I mean, and it probably wouldn't track very well through attribution. Like, if anything, maybe we'll see if we're getting visits from social media. But I would think, for the most part, it's probably more of like awareness and just also making sure someone is checking our socials, like that it's not dead, so they don't think the company's dead, so to speak.
Yeah, that is a good point. But I think also, like, on at least on LinkedIn, it's like it comes up in your feed. And like, I think people don't really look in the feed too much, but it's the first page that you see. And so if you happen to land in there, then you at least have a little bit of awareness, that sort of thing too. Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool.
So what's been, so that's one of our just random experiments.
Cool.
What's going on with you? How's, I know you've been doing more, trying to do more outreach or.
Yeah. So I've been trying to do outreach, not sure I'm fully succeeding at it yet, but I did follow up with a number of the people that I interviewed with, kind of a summarized, narrowed down list of points of like, hey, this is kind of what I'm seeing other people are saying. Does this kind of resonate with you? Just yes or no. Like, I'm not going to bother you for another interview or anything like that. And the few responses I got were really positive. So that's good. It's a small number of responses, so it's kind of hard to tell if there's much signal there, but, yeah,
like just small number percentage versus like that you talk to. Say numbers if you're.
Yeah, so I've only interviewed it's 5 or 6 people now, and I think only 2 of them really fit into my customer segment. Now that I've kind of narrowed down into this manufacturing kind of niche of manufacturing and build to order type products, and so the one person that was really communicative responded to that very positively. So it's just a little bit of input, but I've been trying to fill the top of the funnel again with that. So I kind of took a break from trying to fill the top of the funnel for people to talk to. So I've been over the last 3 days now, I've just been pumping it full, trying to get connection requests and getting initial messages off to people. And this time around, I haven't done this yet, so I haven't really tested how well it works, but I'm going to redo my messaging to be very specific on some of these issues that I've seen from other people. So I've just got a top 3 kind of list of common problems that I've heard from people. And then, is this something you struggle with too? Like, maybe you can help explain how this works in your organization and that sort of thing. So I'm hoping that with the personalization and the directness that maybe that'll help to get more customer interviews, just because it'll be more relevant to people. Yeah. So I've been going through that, and it's a bit of a slog, I find. But I feel like I'm kind of finding a stride with it. Like, I kind of have rough numbers that I can know to expect. It's like, if I send this many requests, I'll probably get this many. And if I send this many messages, I'll probably get this many interviews. So at least I kind of know what I'm getting into. It doesn't feel like I'm just, throwing things over the wall and seeing what'll happen. And I also did narrow down my focus for filling the funnel too. So I'm pre-filtering for companies that are in the manufacturing space and have some sort of indicator that they would be well suited to this. And so I've been doing a lot of, I found some.
Like, what's an example of that, of what's well suited for this?
So, for example, some of the building supply industry is well suited because they do build to order type of product. And so to find them by searching for a manufacturer doesn't really work because they aren't technically a manufacturer. Maybe they've listed themselves as building materials instead. And so instead of just searching by industry or whatever, I've got to go kind of into the searching the descriptions of the company for like keywords, call for a quote, or we manufacture in-house, or like some of those kinds of things. And that's worked quite well, like to be able to find companies. The struggle with, like, I've been using LinkedIn to kind of try and find people, because that seems to be like a decent source of people, but it's really labor intensive, because it's like I've got to filter the companies first and then build lists of companies and then match against people at the companies. You can't just do like an all-in-one search, because the link between company and person doesn't seem to be very good on their search system. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty labor intensive, because you gotta like filter all the companies, and then you can have a max of 1,000 companies on a company list, and then you can take that over to your person search. So it is a bit of work. And I've also been kind of looking at too, like, I've been targeting the manager level. So like support manager, service manager, those kind of people. But I think like I might also have to go down the food chain a little bit too, to some of the customer service representatives or the customer care representatives, whatever they call them, as a way to get to that manager, because sometimes that manager is offline. I've noticed like they don't have a profile, or they're not active, or they're not willing to entertain like a connection from some rando, but maybe the rep is. So I've been trying to kind of playing around with that. I still don't really know if it's working. I'm just kind of trying and trying to figure it out.
I mean, that's good. I mean, at what point do you feel like you, so again, I guess the goal of this is to find more people to interview, to sort of just try to understand the pain points enough to then maybe do like a proof of concept or a prototype of some sort and taking that kind of step. So one is like, you're trying to find this strong enough correlation on pain points, but then trying to find like, okay, and then here's some proposed solutions if this, you know, getting and then getting more rounds of feedback on that type of thing before you actually build it. And maybe hopefully there's a commitment there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because I'm trying to de-risk the actual building phase. And also like, can I actually find people for this, right? It's one thing to put like kind of inbound marketing out there, but I think I've got to do a bit of outbound first to kind of make sure that there's actually some signal there. Yeah. I've also been doing a bit of work on my LinkedIn profile to try and make it more obvious to people, because I noticed a bunch of people were looking at my profile and then bouncing, because I've got the navigator one, so you can like see what people are doing. So kind of trying to give...
Right, they're like, what is... I got this request. What is this about? Do I even want to entertain it? Because if this is someone trying to sell me something, you know, is it like a scam? What's going
on? Yeah. And so actually, like, I put in basically like a very abbreviated version of the pitch that I use to try and get people on a customer interview. And I put that in my header on the page to try and give some signal, because they're like, what's this guy even want with me kind of thing, to try and give some signal there. So they kind of know what they're getting into, but we'll see how that pans out, I guess. But I have been thinking a bit about this outreach stuff, and I was listening to a podcast where they had Jordan Gall on. And he was talking about spending like a crazy amount of money, at least in my opinion, on doing cold outreach. Like, he was talking about spending like $25,000 on like email outreach, and, you know, still not, he was seeing results from it. Yeah, people were coming in and whatnot, but it wasn't like he's got like a profitable, you know, flywheel of any sort going. And I just thought that was a very large amount of money to spend on something like that. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. Like, you know, there are people that just, they see some signal, and so they just go all in, and they happen to have a bunch of cash lying around so they can, or like, I don't know.
Like, why does that? I mean, I think he's in a different stage, right? Like, I think he's built out a product already. So he is in the trying to scale customers phase, my guess, right? So, I mean, I think at that point, when you have a sort of a product and way to make money, then you're just looking for distribution channels that can work. So then something like with the $25,000, it's sort of like, okay, this is the size of the bet I'm willing to take, because also like, you know, you can't test it for $1,000, right? You wouldn't even know the results. So it's sort of like some of these are longer term. You need to commit to doing a certain amount. And also hopefully there's iterations within that. So again, you know, you just kind of told me the highlights of like, I don't know, over the course of how long, right? Like, there's different strategies to approach it, but also, as you would think with any of these things, like sometimes it's like, okay, maybe that was all to an agency and he wasn't doing it all himself, right? So then it's sort of like, I'm working with an agency, they're basically charging me $5,000 a month, and it's like, you know, 5 months of that, and 5 months of at least check-ins every 2 weeks, hopefully iterating on the pitch, iterating on the target audience, and the end result is maybe you learn one of two things. Maybe this can't work for you, or you need more iterations to figure it out, or potentially the person you're using isn't very good at it.
Yeah. Right?
So hopefully you're learning is what the approach is. But then on the flip side, it's like a test. So it's like, okay, I've got to test these three other channels, and I am placing, you know, a reasonable amount of time and effort and money into these. And again, I don't know how hands-on or hands-off, because it's maybe he's like, here's $25,000 for this guy to run on his own, try to figure it out in 3 months. In the meantime, I might split my time and work on a different channel myself, like a PR channel, email marketing channel, or a LinkedIn ad strategy, you know, so like this way you can place multiple bets and just kind of see where you want to double
down. Yeah. And I think you made a good point too there too, that like he's already got a product and at least some customer fit where people are willing to pay for it. So it could also be one of those things of just figuring out how to make it cash positive, right? Like how long do you need to keep these people to make it worth the money you're putting into that channel and all that.
And I think similar to, like, I don't know what good books there are lately. I know the people liked that Traction Gabriel one. Yeah. Everyone is pretty old at this point, but at that, you know, just sort of like what channel approaches can be taken, right, for whoever his audience is. I don't remember who the audience was for Rosie.
Yeah, I think it was like small business. So I think, and I remember him talking on the podcast too. He was talking about a lot of Facebook kind of outreach and that sort of thing, because a lot of his people are on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting to hear these different channels that people are using and kind of, you know, what they're, how they're going about it. Yeah, just especially as I'm trying to find people for this customer thing, this customer service thing too. I've just been thinking a lot about, is there a better way to be doing this?
Well, a couple things. So like right now, what you're doing is you're doubling up on both like the audience, which is good. It's kind of, remember, if you remember the whole Arvid's book way back, it, like the embedding yourself in a community type of stuff. But also, like, I don't know, there's maybe other tools you can use to like find these people. There is that, I haven't really used it extensively, but you could try the Spark Toro app as well. Okay. Which is supposed to be good for audience research.
Yeah,
I think it is good for audience research. Not supposed to be, but it's its goal, and I think it's that type of thing. You could put in like, is my audience even on LinkedIn? Or maybe there's such a small percentage that you're even aware of that you're trying to find, like, hey, the people I actually want to talk to aren't here. Where are they? Where do they hang out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it this social media? Is it this Reddit thing? And that's where I think the Spark Toro thing will help you do kind of find where those people are. Or what are the podcasts they listen to? Where is there some overlap? Like, it has a lot of good, like, basically try to find where the water coolers are type of thing. So I think they even have you get a free, like, certain amount of credits. Maybe it doesn't give you all the information.
Yeah.
But that might be worth your while to kind of check that out, to kind of just get where else could my audience live? Another thing that I was thinking about too was, I know you've mentioned events and things like that, but those are obvious water coolers, right? Like where industry events or industry types of things. But just even going further, like if you don't target, like if you know who a lot of these websites are and they are the customer service people, can you call them on the customer service line or chat into the chat and just say,
yeah,
what's the harm? What's the hurt? Like, hey, you're getting at least talking to the person. Is there a way you can deflect? Because it's like, that's probably easier because they're customer service people. You should be able to get to reach them. That's kind of their job. You have to do it in a non-creepy, non-weird way.
Yeah, that is clever. And I have thought about that, but that does seem like a bit of a, I would have to think carefully about how I would tackle that.
I'm okay with it because also, like, right now you're doing research, right? Now, is that a scalable channel to, like, eventually for customer acquisition? No, probably not, right? Because it would just piss people off at some point, right? Yeah. But if it is just really at this point, you're just trying to talk to people about their pain points and things like that. And, you know, if you get shut down on it, that's fine. If you don't, and they're like, actually, yeah, this is really hard. And I don't know if they'll break that wall to even talk about the things, even over the chat. But there might be a way you can do it that's, again, not scalable, but maybe just to get a few other contacts. Mm-hmm. Another interesting one, I got two other interesting ones. The one was my, actually a person at the retreat last week was talking about how he actually, you know, for his SaaS product found, I won't go into specifics because I don't want to share this thing, but essentially what he has done is that some people that his product works very well for, are an underserved audience, right? Like, so, which I think is also sort of potentially customer service people in manufacturing or this type of thing. And what he started doing was like interviewing them on a podcast. And it's because it's an underserved market. Like if you interview a marketer, they are less likely to be so excited that they're going to put it all over their LinkedIn and all these other things. Because to them, they're like, they already might be doing their own marketing for themselves, like on LinkedIn and all these other things. But you talk to ones that where their feeds are empty. Mm-hmm. They never get asked to be on a podcast. And all of a sudden, they're like sharing with their family and friends. And also, basically talking about their job that no one asked, you know, one ever asked them about why their job is, you know, just basically what you're kind of interviewing people on. Mm-hmm. Understanding their pain points, and also just basically being like, I see you and I see like the pain you have to go through. And I just like to talk about it. And maybe it's like, I interview all these manufacturing customer service people. And like, what is it like behind the scenes? I just like to and just be like, I've developed software for all of these people. So I have a strong sense of empathy that the systems they have to deal with, it's like, oh my gosh, I could talk about that forever. Right. So
yeah.
Like being a almost not, I would say like therapist, but a place for them to rant, but also a place for them to talk about the differences they're making. And just like, you know, no one's writing a TechCrunch post about them. No one's putting this out. But if you shine the light on them, right, they're also going to talk. And if it's an underserved audience, that person's going to like tell other people about it in the community circles they hang out with. Oh, hey, like I got interviewed with what? They interviewed for that stuff. It's like, oh, I'd love to. I wonder if I could be interviewed, right? Like it's gotten to the point because of this underserved audience, especially for like podcasts and PR and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's now turned into an inbound machine for him, where people are reaching out to him to be on the podcast. Like it used to go the other way, and now it's gotten so good, and they're also making up good content pieces and going out. That might be a more scalable channel, but I don't know. Just thought I'd mention that one because it's sort of like a, when you think about it, like what is the motivation of a guest, especially someone that isn't, you talk to the person that no one ever talks to, they're like lit up that you want to talk to. So it's sort of that type.
Yeah. That is clever. And I think that might be like one of those like growth channels or something like that, where it's like once there's some sort of fit, you know, kind of push further that way. Because I feel like that's a bit of an undertaking, right? You have to start the momentum on it, and then also you have to keep feeding that, and it's, you know, it helps if you have a bit of an audience already to start with to get that going.
I don't know. Like honestly, if you're going as far as you know, committing to some of this, and you're putting this on your LinkedIn profile, and it could just be like, hey, I'm an advocate for like manufacturing customer service people. Maybe there's a better catch your word for it. But they see that and it's like, I just want to interview people, and like, you know, maybe there's something else in it for them, but also shows you as a genuine person that cares about this stuff. Like, so, and if you saw that, and it's like, if you see like, oh, there's actually this guy that runs this podcast. Yeah, it's small. I don't care if it's big or not. Mm. I mean, you know how easy it is to start up a podcast. So it's almost just like, hey, let me, you don't have to necessarily be consistent either. It's not like you're worrying about those other pieces. If at the end of it is it ends up like this, and we have, you know, our 10 listeners, that's fine. But at the same time, it becomes like a way for you to reach out to some of these people. You know, you have to probably think of what is it thematically it's about, so it doesn't just seem like, well, what's in it for him. There might be something there that is like, you know, positive for them and positive for you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll give that some thought. Did you say you had one more on your list?
I did. So this one's a little interesting, and it goes into something that I thought was, there was a recent Saster podcast episode I was listening to. I think it was yesterday. I'll have to link in the show notes what it was, but essentially, you know, Jason Lemkin was talking to Sam Blond, who runs other parts of their podcast. He does like the CRO Confidential. So it was the two of them. So I think they like both host different like media stuff within Saster. But there were definitely some interesting nuggets in there, because they were talking about like, how has AI really changed and helped like a lot of these types of companies? And so that it's a really good listen, because it went into all these different aspects of like, for efficiency for sales reps, like the reality is, yeah, you got more efficient with like taking call notes. But the reality is, did you even care about the call notes anyway? And that actually mean you're more productive, because because you save 2 hours a day on that, maybe before you were never actually doing those 2 hours, would you actually pick up the phone and have three more calls? I don't know, right? Like, but there's a lot of interesting threads in there. But where it came for you, which made me think of like, could even stuff you're working on be timely? But a lot of the things they're talking about with AI, the like, everyone has, you know, your support bot, your your sales bot, you have all these different things. And it's like, the reality is, like, that was like an old world way of thinking, where you had a separation of these types of things. And they were like, you know, where you should look for where the future is hold is like, look at e-commerce. It's like the sales bot was the support bot. Like it's the same mm-hmm. thing. And they're like, there's a potential convergence of this type of thing. And I'm wondering too, within the, you know, potentially manufacturing space, is there like, are they use, you know, where are there other, you know, pain points? You're talking about the support people that are like, hey, where's my order number? I'm tracking this through the system. What's going on? But also like what's going on in their sales front. So there's this interesting conversation they're having around mm-hmm. that area. It's not specifically a go-to-market assistance, but there's definitely some other interesting nuggets they talk about. So it was a really good, just like fly on the wall type of conversation about AI and efficiency and where some of these things are going. And then, by the way, I also threw this in there too, is I didn't know, and I don't know when they did this, but apparently Jason made a like Jason chatbot type of thing.
Oh, man.
Which basically he's like, it's better than me, because he's like, it has much more data on like all the conversations I've had, all the write-ups I've done. Because sometimes if you ask me point blank, hey, what are the top three, you know,
yeah, whatever it is,
SMB SaaS, like bootstrap approaches, I might say one thing, but then the Jason AI actually tells me something else. I'm like, oh, actually, that's better, because like, I forgot about ABC or XYZ.
Yeah.
Human context window versus like AI context window. So what I did for us is I actually wrote, I was asking some other things this morning, and then I was like, what's the best way to start a bootstrap SaaS? So just
And
some of the items it came up with was start small and target a niche. It talks about some examples. And I think this is groundbreaking, especially the way we've been talking about it. It says build a 10x feature, talk to customers early, focus on recurring revenue, SaaS compounds, be patient, bootstrapping takes longer. Budget for 24 months. Make sure you have enough resources, whether it's savings or a side hustle or early customer revenue. I think that's just talking about going all in. Leverage free or low-cost tools. Again, none of this is groundbreaking, but I did ask it some other like questions since we read a lot of that content, more specifically like for Referral Rock. I'm like, hey, how did the better companies approach like go to market for SMBs? You know, I was like, I know you've talked a lot about, written a lot about Bill.com, but like, why does Bill's work? And why do you think, you know, mm-hmm. and it definitely gives some good insight in terms of just like, if you were to have Zaster blog as a resource, I don't know what else they pulled in, maybe podcast episodes, other things like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's really cool. That is kind of neat of a way to like surface all of Jason's content together mm-hmm. like that. But yeah, it is, the AI stuff is, you know, everyone I've talked to is like, AI is crap. Don't give me any of that. I don't want to touch it. Especially the support people. They're like, it just gets it so wrong. Like I talked to a guy that was very forward thinking the other day. He was like, we tried everything to like help reduce the customer support ticket volume. Like they did help docs. They did the like thing where you have to search first and then it will let you do the ticket, a bunch mm-hmm. of that kind of stuff. And he's like, people just don't want it, or at least the people, his customers. He had a pretty decent customer base, but they did skew a bit older, so they were kind of that generation. But yeah, it was kind of interesting to hear that as like a pattern of people not liking the AI. I did look in a bit to the merging of sales and support, and there are definitely organizations that skew all one way. So like some organizations will be all sales, and so even their support people will be technically called a sales rep, and mm-hmm. they will all operate out of a CRM. And then some have kind of extensions on their CRM to basically do some of the support type features. And then people go the other way too, where they have like they put everything into support and everything is a support thing. But I haven't really seen like, I haven't heard of many people that have done well with all in one direction sort of approach, because often mm-hmm. the salespeople have very different incentives from the support people and different needs. And often the software for each is not good for the other. But that is an interesting thought too, you know, just how would it merge well? I think though, with this manufacturing vertical, I think I really do have my work cut out on the integration side. I think that'll probably be the hardest thing to sort out. And so I think if I can focus in on the sales people or the support people, I think, if I can connect with some of these people, I'll give that, especially that SparkToro one a try. Cause I did look at kind of similar kind of like, you know, like you can buy lists and that sort of stuff. But I found like a lot of the lists, they seem to be fairly low quality from what I could tell, or mm-hmm. like they didn't really have great signal. Like, for example, I looked on like Built With for like, you know, what are all the people that use SAP or like a version of SAP? And right. It's like the list they gave me, I just like quickly looked through the like, you know, the 10 free ones or whatever. And it was like, well, that's not really very good data.
Well, I wouldn't think Built With would know, because most of the stuff they do is they just scrape the homepage and look for like pixels and look for like install patterns and how much of people. I mean, I don't know much about SAP, but I'm assuming it doesn't have much of like to do with the webpage on the homepage.
It's not very publicly exposed. It's very private.
Right. But like, what about other agencies that do, you know, you're talking about like, where else do people hang out? And that was, yeah, I think the Saster tangent was a different tangent. This is what I meant from the, my list, sorry, of like, you know, we talked about events, but also what about like agencies?
Yeah.
There's big SAP consultants.
Right. But I guess
there's like, got to be consultants that focus in this area for SAP, right? Like where are there other integration partners, agencies, like they use other services. So who are those people? Someone specializes in this.
Yeah. So a lot of those people go to events, and I've been to a few events where they're at, but I like at this point, I'm just trying to connect. And so I can't think of a way to piggyback on their links really, other than events. Like I've been avoiding events mostly because it takes up a lot of time.
Well, I've just been talking to these agencies. Like you could call them in and just say like, hey, I'm working with this and I'm, you know, trying to potentially solve other, you know, certain problems. How do you guys, or do you have customers that could, you know, I don't know what the pitch is. There's probably something in there. Again, has to be like a value trade of some sort.
It is tricky because a lot of these consultants are trying to sell their own thing as customer support software. And like, cause they have these big ERP systems, right? Is kind of the common consultant that comes in, but I could probably find a different kind of consultant that would come in too. That would work better.
Right. Like who else serves them? And maybe it's not what you do, but it's what, you know.
Right. It's not on the ERP side necessarily, because the ERP often tries to pretend to be a customer support system as well. And it often does it very poorly.
And that's so where other people extend it there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's definitely something to look into. I have also.
And then, have you thought about any of the tools things, like in terms of? Because I think you know you mentioned SAP, but is there anything that can like you know, hey, this thing can go in like you know, like here's my question for these, like what, and maybe this is something you've identified, like what are the bulk of the tickets? Are they all just like order status and like what's going on with my order type of things that could be done eventually, putting up like a front facing portal on their website with enough validation of like. What's your order number? Like sort of when you put in UPS tracking, it's like, it's an open thing, but at the same time, like it can do some validation of who it is to even skip the line, skip even needing a support request. If there was like a big button that says track my order.
Yeah. So people have actually asked for that, like basically a self-serve kind of portal,
right?
Like a done for you self-serve portal.
Right.
And that's totally like, that's on one of my top list of things to build.
Okay.
If this goes ahead. Yeah. So like, I think that sort of tooling is, and also, yeah, what kind of support questions? Yeah. I think it's pretty standard for a lot of it. And you can kind of narrow it down to often it's like issues with their order or delays, manufacturing issues, like that sort of thing, or just, you know, the needy customer that just needs their handheld because it's a big order for them and they're kind of worried. But yeah, just trying to think of like verticals that kind of connect into this. Like there isn't many tools these people are using in terms of like, other than the ERP is kind of the big one. Otherwise they're using just very generic stuff like email and, you know, spreadsheets and that sort of thing. I have thought also about like just finding individual consultants that are like kind of the trainer type of people. But yeah, I think I've also shied away from that a bit too, because I've had a few experiences connecting with trainers and finding that they just kind of blow smoke too. You know, they promise different things and whatever. And you know, that's maybe a small sample set. Maybe I got to expand that a bit more.
What if there was so you've heard of the, you know, it's called like the Wizard of Oz trick, you know, type of thing. Have you heard of that?
Do
you know?
I have not heard of that. No.
Basically it's the idea of like, you know, you put a button up and they press it. And then behind the scenes, you're running around manually doing the things.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like behind the curtain type of thing. So, I mean, right now there is a, you know, let's say manufacturing, you have like a person goes to the website and they're like, I want to track my order. Right now, if their current path is like reach out to support, and then it's like, okay, I don't know how robust these systems are. Maybe they're not, or even for the smaller people, definitely not. It's just like, hey, here's an email, like email us your question.
Yeah.
So if that's the case and everyone just wants a button, give them a button. And then what it does is like, you know, you could make a quick JavaScript like button type of thing that says like, what is your order number? Like basically what is the top information you would need to collect from the customer so that it gives enough information to the support person? Because oftentimes that's a back and forth of 5 questions going back to the chat or someone fills that out. It might be this industry might be so nascent that no one's even created a form for that. It's just still the generic contact us form. But if you even just had, here are the fields and it's dynamic and it's not configurable. It's just like, what's the order number? What's the, maybe you don't know the date you placed the order, but what's the date range? Was it like a week ago, 2 weeks ago? Like just enough information so someone can triangulate on the other side. And then at the end of it, it has like, you know, put in your email and then we'll send you an email link to a ticket and we'll tell you when there's an update. Like you took all the upfront request information out. And yeah, essentially, like,
this is not a hard problem. The technical side of this is very easy. And even the human element is not very hard. It's just that I want to validate that people will actually pay for this.
I'm just saying, like, building something super lightweight.
Oh, I see.
Gives you something to also outreach with.
Mm.
So instead of like, ultimately, you're trying to validate this. But if right now you're getting stuck on like this in between, is like, I want to talk to more people and I'm having trouble finding it. But also, when you talk about a value trade, you're saying, hey, I have this free tool that'll do this. Like, check it out. Love to talk to you more about your problems. But if not, just use the free tool. Like, they're getting interest enough that they're checking out your LinkedIn profile. If it was just free tool and like, want the magic, like, where's my order button? Like, this is free. Now, like, you get that signal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there's a problem. You already validated that there's people with money that have this problem. Now,
right. And that's literally like, it's like those linked magnets, like how people have link magnets and stuff like that. It's like,
yes,
a way to get in. Yeah, no, that's clever.
Lead magnets, but yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. So essentially, like, but you could build that. You're not investing to build that as the full end product, but it basically is a, you know, back to this Jason Lemkin list, which was leverage free or low cost tools.
Yeah, like I could build that on a Friday.
Build a free tool. You could do this in a, you know, for you could do it very quickly, at least enough, like, hey, I get people to. And maybe it's just like, hey, I will like custom set it up for you. And just like, here's the screenshots of the things. Like, I will set this up for you for free. This will never cost you anything. Like, this one will just do these forms. Now, once they start, you know, if they put it on their website, I mean, that's pretty strong validation. And then it's like, hey, they're using it. And it's also like, oh, wouldn't it be magical if this automatically could pull some of this information? Yeah, we charge for that. That's, you know, let me try to find some pilot customers. And they're like, oh, wow, I'm already collecting, you know, 20 requests a day, and that already saves us time. And if you could do this automatically, and then actually it pulls it, and then still the customer service person just gets a, yep, that looks right, like go. But you'd probably, one, enjoy more the coding side, but two, now you have something to offer. Like we talked about, go into these consultants, go into these agencies, going to events and be like, hey, I'm just the free, what's my order status button guy.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, I'm working on other stuff, but this is free. Like, they're not going to be like, okay, like, really? There's no hook? That's it. It's free. It's like, it's not self-service now. I'll set you up. Like, but, you know, and eventually you could make it self-service. You get enough demand. You'll automate yourself out of it. But all of a sudden you have high signal. You did the hardest part, which was getting them to install it and putting it on their thing. They're immediately seeing value. And then it is only natural for them to see the additional value that, is it worth paying $1,000 a month to have it automatically look up SAP and get the information? Heck yeah, it is, right? Like how much time now I can see the full equation of how much time like people are using it. Plus here's how much time I'm saving and how much like less support costs and less support annoyance you're dealing
with. Yeah. Oh.
And the support person is not the person that's going to put that on the page. When you reach out to these other ones and say, hey, I have this free, like, solve your most common support question that drives your support team batty, that there isn't a better solution for, like, this still on its own makes it easier.
Yeah,
it's something.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I have to buy a domain. Shucks.
But I mean,
I think that's clever.
Building this as validation, right? This still, you can code for validation as well, but this would be a good point to do that.
Yeah. And I think to make it really simple, I do have to think a little bit about how to get over the hump of getting it on their website, because that's usually a barrier as well, right? because often that's a different person manages that.
I mean, it could also just be like, it's a link. So it's just like, you can get this link that is in this, you know, it doesn't even have to be like JavaScript and whatever. It's just like, hey, you get this custom thing. It's on a subdomain and it's just like, here's a link to the thing and just put this on your website, right? Like, mm-hmm. But putting a link, if they can't put a link on their website, you're going to have other problems.
Yeah, well, it is a bit of a lift though, right? These a lot of these places, they don't have an in-house person that manages their website, or they're on like a very separate team and they don't communicate with them very often because they're in marketing. It is like, there is a bit of a lift there.
No, I know, but this is a, regardless, like, you're going to have to get over that hump to get them to pay for the thing, or just for them to see value. It's far easier for them to do that than to take their checkbook out, do a full SAP integrate, like do all these other things. And so putting a link on their website, you said that it's enough of a need. And if you'll find out, again, even if you just like did a very basic, even like, hey, here's, or even to now, like get on the waiting list for this and here's my screenshots. Like you could even do that. You don't even have to build it. And then, you know, I'll talk to you about installing it. If you talk to their people about, hey, I'm just gathering information on what it would take to install, like, could you put a link on? Oh, yeah. You know, maybe, and you're going to find out how much of a problem it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Got some things to think about here. This has been really helpful. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Well, have a good weekend.
Yes, you too. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Bosher and Josh is at JLogic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes. Episode 52, 7 years to 22 MRR and zombie startups. Or episode 30, review sites are a necessary evil and hacks to get around them. Thanks again.